Thank you. Certainly thankful to be here with you this morning, and this is my first visit also. It's so good to see some familiar faces out there, and good to see so many people I've not met before. Look forward to meeting you, and I'm thankful for your pastor. I have known him many years, and thankful for his diligence in preaching and the studying of the Word of God. It's been a great influence, and I was thankful to see your building plans out there. Brother Ronald had been talking about it for some time, and thankful to see your vision in that. And as I was looking at it, I was thinking that what I should have done, you know, we're starting a building project in Crestview also, and when you start talking numbers about building a building, sometimes people get a little bit frightened about that, especially when you start tossing out numbers like $500,000 and this and that. So what I should have done was taken your plans back to Crestview and shown them that first, and then I would have shown them our plans, and we'd have maybe been a little bit further along the way. But thankful for your vision. I pray that the Lord will bless you as you go forward in that pursuit. And again, I want to say thank you for those of you that come to be with us in Crestview at Palm Chapel. And sometimes I believe that Lord's people get in mind when they go on vacation, they can take a vacation from worshiping the Lord, but that shouldn't be the case. So I'm appreciative of your diligence to be in church when you go down to enjoy some vacation time. If you'll turn with me, we'll be reading from Acts chapter 9. Back home, we've been doing a study on the book of Acts, and one of the reasons I felt the need to do that is that we have some in our congregation that are new to the Primitive Baptist Church, and they need an understanding of why we do what we do as the Lord's people. And I believe the book of Acts to be the truth of the Word of God, and one of the best places to go in the Bible to teach the Lord's people about the foundation of the church. You know, as Luke wrote these things in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts, he was blessed by God with a perfect understanding. And, you know, I'm thankful for history. I'm thankful for the history books. I'm thankful for church history. I went to school and majored in history. But the only incorruptible history that we have of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would have us to do is here in his word. And we need to constantly be referring back to that. It's good for the new folks, good for the old folks that's been in the church for many, many years to be reminded of those things. But this morning I want to talk about modern day miracles. You know, we're living in a time, and especially amongst Christianity as a whole today, where people are infatuated with miracles. I live in an area where the charismatic movement is very strong, and one of the things that they tout is the ability to perform these great miracles. You've probably seen it on television, some of these men that get people and line them up on the stage and supposedly heal them, wax them on the head and they fall down and think that a miracle has been performed. Well, we're living in a time where many people are seeking miracles, and they equate serving the Lord with these miracles and think that if you're not performing some of these miracles, maybe that you saw during the early New Testament times, then you're not enjoying a fullness of the Spirit of God, or you're missing out on something. Well, I want us to look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about this, and I want us to examine modern day miracles. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, and we'll start reading at verse 32. It says, "It came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt in Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, when he had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise, and make thy bed, for he rose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydia and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." Verse 36 says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that when she was sick and died, and when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. When Peter arose and went with them, Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And when she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Now, what a wonderful miracle that was, well, two miracles that were wrought on this occasion. And you know, as I read and study the Bible and see some of these miracles, as you go back in the Gospels and you see the miracles that Jesus performed, and then these miracles such as Peter performed here on this occasion and other occasions in the book of Acts, you know, what must it have been like to have witnessed those miracles? To see this one that had been sick on his bed for 8 years be called and he rose from his bed. And this one named Tabitha that was dead be raised from the dead. What a wonderful experience that was. What a testimony that was. And as I said before, many people today are looking for miracles. And some people think that the miracles that the apostles performed are still being performed today. Well, I believe that there are miracles that are performed today, but these miracles such as raising the dead and this speaking in tongues, and we could spend an hour just on that, and these miracles of healing, they had their place in the early church and they were there to establish the church. But we have today the Word of God. We have the church established for us, and men aren't performing those miracles anymore. And you know, you look at throughout the biblical history, you'll see times when miracles were performed to a great degree, and then they weren't. You think of the time of Moses. God blessed Moses to perform great miracles before the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And then there was a period of time where the miracles weren't as prevalent. They're during the time of the prophets. You think of Elisha and Elijah and the miracles they perform. We see that. And then there appears to be a period of time where we don't see the miracles. We see the Gospels come. Jesus performs miracles. The book of Acts, the apostles perform miracles. Well, the miracles that Peter wrought during this time were to establish that the work that the apostles were doing, it was God's work. There were a lot of people that claimed to be miracle workers, that claimed to have the true religion, but when these brethren went into a certain town and performed such miracles, as raising one that's sick from his bed, raising one from the dead, that was authority that God was working amongst them. Well, we have the Word of God today that gives us God's authority, what He would have us to do. So we don't have miracles, if you will, like they did during this time. So those that you see on television that are laying hands on people and being healed, it's either one of two things. They're either a farce or a hoax, or it's a spirit that's not of the Spirit of God. And I told the folks back home that I will give some credit to what they do when I see them raise somebody from the dead. You know, those that are healing the sick and healing those that are crippled, supposedly. I've never seen one raise another person from the dead yet. You know, and Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, speaking of charity, he said that charity never faileth. But he says, where there be prophecies, they shall fail. And knowledge, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And he says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, we have this Word of God, this more sure word of prophecy that gives us all the instruction that we need to serve Him. So, but we see two miracles here, but I want to submit unto you this morning that there's a third miracle that's relevant to us today, and that third miracle is the one that was performing by the blessing of God these other two miracles, and that's Peter. You ever thought about Peter's life being a miracle? You know, as he worked these miracles, as he called out unto Aeneas, what did he say? He said, Jesus Christ maketh thee to arise. And as this one damsel was brought alive, it was for the glory of the Lord. The people believed on the Lord. We don't see the people worshiping Peter during this time, but they worshiped the Lord because this was done. But Peter is a miracle in and of himself. You go back to the Gospel of Mark and we see Jesus calls this one that was formerly named Simon to come and follow him. You know, he's called them out to follow him and they would become fishers of men. You know, you go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, and you get a little bit more insight into what happened during that day. Luke chapter 5, the beginning of Luke chapter 5, we see that Peter and his brethren, they were out fishing. They were coming home in the morning. During that time, they would go out and row the boats out into the night, and they would fish with their nets. And it was a laborsome work. It wasn't going out here to the lake and casting out a rod and reel. They were going out and catching fish to sustain their families, to make a living for their families. And on this particular occasion, it must have been like, usually when I go fishing, the fish weren't biting. And they had been out all night long fishing. He was weary. They didn't crank up the outboard and go out into the sea. They rowed and they went out and threw out the nets. Well, Jesus comes unto Simon as he was coming in, and they were getting things wrapped up, getting ready to go home and go to bed, I assume. And Jesus comes unto Peter and says for them to go launch out in the deep and lay down your nets for a draught. Can you imagine that? Been working all day and then haven't had any progress, haven't been productive at all, and someone comes up to you and says, well, go out and do it again. Well, he does that. He says, verse 5, and you know, Peter probably wasn't real enthusiastic as he said this. He says, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word will I let down the net. What happened during that time? He was probably thinking within himself, who is this man to tell me to go out and do this again? I haven't caught anything all night. Well, they go out and what happens? We see in verse 6, it says, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And when they came, they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. What a miracle that was performed here. We see that Jesus blesses them. They'd been all night toiling, all night laboring. They caught no fish. But Jesus says to cast down your nets, and they do so, and they have so many fish that the boats begin to sink. But notice what Peter says in verse 8. We see a far greater miracle. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Here was a man that saw the mighty power of the Lord on this day. He saw the glory of the Lord to the point where he says, I am but a sinful man. You know, that's a miracle, I believe, that's greater than those fishes being brought into a boat. Here was a man that saw his exceeding sinfulness. And I ask the question, where are you today? Have you been blessed to see that you're a sinner? Have you been blessed to see that you're undone? Have you been blessed, as the hymn writer John Newton, to see yourself as a wretch? Well, that's a miracle from the Lord. You know, that's something that the world doesn't like. If you went out to elementary school today and had an assembly and got all the kids together and told them, kids, you're nothing but sinners, they would probably have you arrested. But as God's people that have been touched by His Spirit, we're blessed to see ourselves as sinners. Why is that important? When we see ourselves as we are, poor, weak, and undone, God gets the glory. And there's a miracle in that. There's a miracle in that today. Peter saw himself as an exceeding sinner. Peter saw that he was nothing. Isn't that a blessing? That's a miracle that this world takes for granted. You know, when you can see yourself as exceeding sinful, you see your need for a Savior. So we see Peter's sinfulness. Matthew chapter 16. We go later on in the life of Peter. Many of us are familiar with Matthew chapter 16 as Jesus asked the question to his disciples, whom do men say that I am? Peter answered the question correctly. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember what Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven. Well, Peter, I believe, as Jesus told him that, Peter got lifted up a little bit in himself. Because after Jesus spoke these words unto him, he began to charge his disciples. He began to tell them the many things that he was going to suffer as he went into Jerusalem. He was going to, telling them about how he was going to be killed and be raised again on the third day. But what does Peter do? Matthew chapter 16, about verse 22, it says, Peter took him and he began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Here was Peter lifted up in pride. The Lord tells him he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to suffer, he's going to be killed, going to be raised again the third day. Peter grabs him, I assume, by his cloak and says, Lord, these things are not going to happen. So now we see Peter lifted up in pride. What is Jesus saying to him? Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. How many times do we find ourselves in that same boat? Well, you say, well, I've never directly opposed Jesus the way that Peter has. Do you know what? Every time you sin, every time you disobey the word of God, you're doing just as Peter did here. You're grabbing the Savior and saying, Lord, it's not going to be your way. It's going to be my own way. And that was what Peter did. Peter did that on more than one occasion. Luke chapter 22, if you want to turn there. You see, Jesus tells Peter that this was going to happen. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus is predicting something that was going to happen in the life of Peter, something that was going to make a big impact. What does Jesus say? But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice what Peter says again. He says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both unto prison and to death. Peter's saying, I'll go anywhere that you go, Lord. You don't know what you're talking about, Savior. You don't know what you're saying. I will follow you anywhere you go. Well, what does Jesus tell Peter? He says, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And what happens? Well, about Mark chapter 14, we see that Peter is spotted there. Jesus Christ had been led away, and everyone had forsaken him, even Peter. Even the one that said, Lord, I'm going to go with you. If you go in prison, I'll be there. If you go to death, I'll be there. Peter had forsaken him. And the damsel there spotted Peter and knew that he was one of those that was a disciple of Jesus, one of those that were following him. And she called him out, but Peter cursed and swore that he did not know Jesus Christ. And what happens? We see that what Jesus says in Luke chapter 22 occurs. The cock crows, and the Bible says that Peter wept. Another place it says Peter wept bitterly. Well, we see the pride of Peter. We see Peter's weakness. Is Peter done with? No, we're going to see another miracle in the life of Peter. And this is a miracle that applies to us. Is all lost? Has the Lord just washed his hands of Peter now? No, we know that not to be the case. John chapter 20, we see Jesus Christ returns. And I'm thankful to say that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Bible gives us this authority. He rose from the dead, and we see that he walked amongst the disciples, and Peter was one of those that he came to. John chapter 20 and verse 15, we see that Jesus says unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Well, what was he talking about? Well, Peter had just thrown up his hands and he went back to the fishing business. You know, he says earlier, I go a fishing. He was going back to his nets and he thought all was lost. He thought all was gone. But now Jesus comes to him and says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. He says, to feed my lambs. He asks him again the same thing. Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. He does it one more time, and Peter was grieved. And he says, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And I like what Jesus says because it gives us all comfort as God's people. It gives us all hope in verse 18 of John chapter 20. He says, John chapter 21, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and shall carry thee whither thou wouldest not. What's the other miracle in the life of Peter? Despite his sinfulness, despite his pridefulness, despite his weakness, God still blessed him. The Lord still had a use for him. And that's a wonderful miracle for us to contemplate today. We may not have audibly denied the Lord, but I guarantee you that we have in our actions denied the Lord from time to time. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we see the miracle of Peter seeing his exceeding sinfulness. We see the miracle here that the Lord still had a use for this one that had denied him, this one that was full of pride, this one that oftentimes spoke when he shouldn't have spoken, said the wrong thing. The Lord still used him. We know that because we read in Acts chapter 9, he's going about preaching. He's going about the beginning of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts. Who was the one that was blessed on the day of Pentecost to preach? It was Peter. Acts chapter 9, who's the one that's preaching? Who's the one that's blessed of God to perform these great miracles? Peter. You know, sometimes we put the apostles on a pedestal from time to time. We make stained glass saints out of them. And we read about them and we think, well, these men were just beyond reproach. But the good news is they were sinners just like you and I are. You know, we try to put people on pedestals from time to time. Old preacher so-and-so, he's just so great. No, he's a sinner, wicked and vile, just like you are. But the goodness and the mercy of God is bestowed upon us. He blesses us. He is merciful and long-suffering towards us. So we see this occurring, these modern-day miracles. Peter performed these miracles in Acts chapter 9 of this one being raised from his bed. Well, if you go back to Matthew chapter 9, you see that Jesus did the same thing. Healed a man that had palsy for many years. Mark chapter 5, you read of a miracle of Jesus where he raises one from the dead. Isn't it a blessing? God can use vile sinners. God can use us that have all sinned and come short of his glory. That's a miracle today. Having said all that today, I want to tell you this morning that our God is a miracle-working God. You know, men aren't able to lay their hands on people and heal them, but we have a divine healer in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he blesses us with miracles on a daily basis. And you know what I believe? I believe that as Americans, with all the prosperity, all of the material things that we have today, we've forgotten, if you will, that our God still works miracles today. You know, we don't see the miracles on the forefront like they were here of healing and raising of the dead, but the Lord still heals. But even more important to us, the Lord still works miracles. You know, every time a poor sinner as an enemy to Christ is blessed with the Spirit of God and blessed to love the things that they once hated and hate the things they once loved, that's a miracle today. You know, that any of us have the ability to be here this morning, it's a blessing from God. It's all of His grace and all of His mercy, and that's the greatest miracle. You know, I believe many well-intentioned people today try to manufacture miracles, try to manufacture the Spirit of God. You know, you turn on the television, you see it, and you can get people excited with material things. You know, if we just got the right lighting in here and got a band over here, a praise band, put Brother Ronald on the electric guitar, and you know, we could get people worked up, put Brother Guy on the drums, and we could get people worked up and get people in here. And you know, people try to manufacture a miracle, and many people today, they're looking for a miracle. But I've got good news. If you've been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's a miracle. You know, we need to appreciate that. We need to get excited about that. If you've been blessed to sit under the preached Word of God, that's a miracle from above. You've been blessed with some understanding, that's a miracle from above. We don't need to manufacture it. I was telling the folks back home the other day on Easter weekend, I was over in McClenny with a church over there, and I was staying with my grandmother, and she had the television turned on Sunday morning, which I want to say to you, that's a waste of time. You know, but anyway, she had some church broadcast on, and it was Easter Sunday, and they had a real lion. They had a big stage. They had a real lion staked up there on the stage and a real lamb up there, and they had all the music and the lights going, and everybody was excited. They panned the crowd, and you'd think it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, they were manufacturing a miracle. They were trying to manufacture the Spirit of God. And when we try to do that, you know, that's never going to be satisfactory. They're going to have to do something bigger and better next year to get people back in. And I told my wife, you know, you really want to see a spirit move, let that lion get loose in there in that church house. We don't need to manufacture miracles. We have the Word of God that's a blessing from Him. We've been blessed as His people with the Spirit of God. Now, what do we need to do with that? We need to go forward and serve Him, go forward and honor Him. We see the life of Peter is a miracle. You know, my life is a miracle because I know that I'm a poor, worthless sinner. Your life is a miracle. If you've been blessed to see Jesus as your Savior, that's a miracle. We don't need to manufacture anything else. We have the Word of God that He's given to us. You know, this is a miracle that we have this because according to all worldly things, this Bible should have been eradicated many years ago. But throughout history, God has preserved His Word for us. Now, we've got plenty to be excited about as Primitive Baptists. We just need to shift our priorities in the right direction. You know, we don't need to add anything. We don't need to change anything from this Word of God. It's a miracle that He's given us as His people. And it's my prayer that we as God's people would realize that and serve Him. You know, God hasn't changed, people change. And I believe one thing, and I'm thankful for this country that we live in. I'm thankful for the prosperity that we have. I'm thankful for the material things that we have. But I think in the midst of all of that, we have become, as the Laodiceans, rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. We don't recognize a miracle when it's right here in front of us. More people want to be entertained than see that the working of the Lord in the lives of His people is a miracle. This truth that He's given us is a miracle. It's my prayer that we as God's people would reshift our priorities to His Word, unto Him, and serve Him. Modern day miracles, they still happen today. They're happening right now. May the Lord bless you.